Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 296, and you forget these 12:30s are for the Cockneys. Fuck off back to London. Difficult because 4:45 alarm and I was out of this thing. But Nathan's kindly, it's been a rush. Slow trams, do they always go slow? Anyway, right, isn't it marvellous how Manchester United can just soothe you? It is sad on one level, but on another, my missus said during the week, you seem much happier at the moment. It's raining, you're not moaning about the endless rain. I said, Man United are winning. And she looked at me with the eyes rolled. And I went, it is that simple. We've won three on the trot. I want four on the trot. I want five on the trot. We've got two bogey teams. They shouldn't be bogey teams. It's Spurs, lads. It's West Ham, lads. But these are big tests again because we had a wobble last week. We managed to come through it. Their Spurs fans are quite giddy that they think they've turned a small corner recently with their thing and their players are coming back. But I think we've got enough today. I do think we've got enough today, so fuck them. I don't want anything spoiling it. Well, you know, obviously, it is going to... We're running on, like, enthusiasm and that. We've got to be a bit savvy at times. Reflections yesterday, just... I always look for new stuff on the anniversary, and I was reading about the journalists, and it was Frank Taylor who made the point of never forget, and, you know, and we don't, all of those who were lost, but said the greatest of football players were lost, but also the greatest potential of journalists were lost, you know. So, and I know David Pegg's family, get to know them over the years, it means a lot, those thoughts, however you do it. And I was just reading, and, you know, like, so they're forever remembered. I'm going to go to Nathan, Ben, but I just, the Winter Olympics, I watched it by proxy with Nathan, I had it on BBC Two, me at home.
The opening ceremony.
The jackets, not the people who look really ridiculous at the start.
Like a jacket potato.
And the Italian language threw me, like, I just get confused.
It is in Italy.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I'm going all Nige here. But it's like, why do you spell Holland like that? It doesn't make sense. God, that sounds bad, doesn't it? But some of the jackets, the Armenian jacket, not the Belgian, but some of those jackets for the gear, I was thinking, they look good. I might try an eBay on like a disgruntled contestant somewhere down the line. Right, got to set daylight. And what I loved last week, it's 8 games in a row. No shows against Spurs. Not just for Bilbao, but for fuck's sake, get your act together. 2022 is the last time we beat this lot. We owe them, you know? Right, I love Xerxes celebrating after the Sesco. Really going into, and I like that. And what you remember, like Xerxes' pass for Cunha for Leeds. So maybe he's still got a role to play. Bruno's swivel, just the turns to create that was just fantastic. And can we just get some applause again for that no-look pass from Casemiro, and he did the 6 and 7. But Match of the Day didn't bloody show it, did they, doing the 6 and 7? Now, apparently, Albert tells me, Zayden... I know I'm a grown man. Well, I'm not really a grown man, am I? I'm a mouse. I'm not a man. But apparently, every time I go 6 and 7 to Albert, he now says, meme reset, and it means shut the fuck up, Dad.
Good.
That means you don't go on it. Love of the week is it's nearly March the 1st. The light... at the end of the tunnel, nearly. Well, 22 days, 23 days. Keep this article sent in for the future mags. We've got unreal content coming in. I just love it. And like, the days are getting light, and that makes me happy. And now the big reveal is Nick and Nathan. Now, I'm a bit jealous, but I promised Nick and Nathan they'd do the next one. And I went big. The club asked me, and fair play to Rick. You know, we criticised about the Wolves thing, but he got in touch and said, you've suffered this season because of the rain and the no games. Do you want, willing to offer you a second interview? There's no content's going to change on the mag. And I went big, asked for big, and they Luke Shaw on. So really, really impressed. And I trust these ads. I know they'd smash it, but it's going to be an interesting because he's open, you know, like he will talk. So I cannot wait to read it, really, and what he's going to say about 11 years here, about the injuries, about criticism, but also, you know, as a senior player here, what more he wants to do, what's this season down to, so watch this space. Hello, Nathan.
So that's all the questions covered, you just said. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good. It'll be interesting to...
Make sure Nick's not late.
Well, he's always late.
Today.
Have you told him it's at 9 a.m, even though it's at midday?
He needs the Jadon Sancho approach, doesn't he? Training starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, Nick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm looking forward to that. It'd be nice to go to the training ground, and I don't know how much of it we'll actually get to see. I doubt we'll get a full tour, but it'd be nice to be in the space, won't it? But yeah, I think today I'm fairly confident. Ooh. Again. I think so. I think, like you say, we owe them several, don't they, rather than just one, and I think they're going to be up for it again. I think, you know, everyone looks on form like they've not been for a long time, and yeah, Spurs are sort, and I know it's only been 3 games for us, but Spurs are very much in the space that we've been for a while. Like they were last year as well, obviously, weren't they? They look fragile. You know, if we get an early goal, I'd like to think, but we did last week, and
I was thinking we will, at worst case, I definitely think we're finishing between 4th and 8th, and I hope that it'll be 4th, 5th, or 6th. You know, I'd really like Champions League football for next season, but I do think Spurs, even, you know, they're going to be like 12th to 10th at best, so that's why you would expect us to win today, because they are going to lose a lot more going forward at the end of the season. West Ham are going to lose a lot more. So this is where you kill those teams off who are going to lose a lot more after. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, it's just about keeping momentum up, Barney, for me. You know, this is a potential banana skin again, isn't it, really? This is the type of match where, in the past and in previous seasons, we know we always seem to slip up against Spurs. You know, we don't have the greatest record. As you said, is it 2022 since we last beat these?
Mad, that.
Yeah, he's mad, that. I just hope today that we hit the front quickly. We get in at them, we give them a game of football straight away. And as you said, the early goal is the key. Getting an early goal was really key, I think, for today.
Yeah, but even as the dirty wins, the 1-0 wins, the ones that don't get you off the seat. That's why the flatness of last week didn't bother me. I like, you know, you want the atmosphere
It's the points that count now,
and
isn't
getting
it?
The wins.
Getting the wins, you know. Let's make it 4 on the bounce.
Here's an interesting stat. Daniel Carlson hired this too. When Ugarte, we've conceded, and considering he's not had much game time, 24 goals with Ugarte on the pitch. Casemiro this season on pitch, we've scored 34 goals and conceded only 18. When he's gone off, we've only scored 13 and we've conceded 22, which goes, so Daniel Carlson, it's a 25 goal swing. But what it is basically referring is I think Casemiro can last longer, and you've got to push him in these once a week.
It's like I said at the end of the last pod, though. As soon as he went off, the midfield went to pieces a little bit. There was walking through us like
yeah. I had one of the stats was that we've conceding far more whilst Ugarte's been on the pitch. He's played like half the minutes of Casemiro.
Casemiro, you know, that's a shame. Well,
this is spoiler alert, but this will be one of the questions I was thinking to ask Shaw. Is Casemiro thriving because he's only having to play once a week? Is that the reason that Shaw is having such a good good season? Because he is only having to do that once a week, rather than the go again, go again, go again. There are certain players where this setup, as much as they'd love to be playing in Europe, they're thriving. Their bodies are better.
And Rio's his point, as the season goes on, when we play more teams still in, you know, Europa and Europe, they're going to be knackered. We've got to take advantage of that. Can we really, like, Nick was singing New Scouse Bastard at Harry Wilson. I went, who? What? He played at Scouse? I don't remember that. But can we really call him a Scouse Bastard and he only played 20-odd games? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. But I didn't even remember Harry Wilson being a thing. It really... Right. So, yeah, the point that I've had three great articles sent in this week, including a lad who was banned and faced consequences after the Liverpool protest, and it's his story thereafter. Just out of the blue, can I send this in? So, first-time writers, multiple writers, just, I love it. And Rue, we just remain a fanzine. You won't always agree, but it's no more, no less, and that is a beautiful thing. Can I say, I hate foxes or squirrels. They're combined in together, and pigeons. They fucking dig up stuff to get at their nuts. A bit like men, really. But they fucking... I've planted my bulbs. Yeah. Have you still got the sunflower
bulbs? We have, yeah.
Yes! Right, so in about a month,
yeah,
we'll go through it. Great,
yeah.
Well done, lads. That's pleased me.
But
I planted all my bulbs October to spring out in March and April, and the fucker, one of the fuckers, a fox or a squirrel, or both, fucking dug them up, and I was crestfallen.
What's your thing about pigeons then?
I fucking hate them. They're rats on wings. I fucking hate them.
I love that.
The shit.
I love that.
The shitting, them fucking pecking their heads on the floor, them bothering me, them like being close to me. I'm just going to... Hey, mate.
Quick pod. What do you think today?
3-1 United.
Oh, I like that. And are you feeling good about things?
Yeah, feeling good. Yeah, yeah.
Garrett.
A lot of good feeling. I mean, it's a long way to go, right, yeah. It's still got 14 games to go.
See where we are at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I think... unlikely title push, maybe. Very optimistic, but yeah, you never know.
Cheers for the support, mate. What's
no
your
problem.
Name? James. James. Nice one, mate. Appreciate James. It. Thank you.
Just saying there, Barney, you don't want you narrating a nature documentary, do we?
They're just... Well, I'd go, there's the fucking pigeons, shoot them. Sorry, I got a mate got a very unhappy... Hi, you mate. Hey, on the pod quick, how are we doing?
Good, good. Very, very
How's
good.
How's your mojo?
Yeah, I've got my young lad here now. He's brought us good luck today. Like, oh, hang on to it. Put it towards.
Oh, that's lovely.
So I have the young lad today, so...
What's your name, mate?
Max.
What do you reckon today?
2-1 Man United.
Right, I like that. What are you going for?
2-1.
Yeah. There's a lot... See, thanks for that. There's a lot of 3-1s about as well, throwing around on... Long liner, so I like that.
I just talked about the anniversary.
Foxes. Oh, sorry.
Back to the football. I started reading that Munich's book yesterday. I still don't agree with the title, but I'm about 100 pages in already. I can't say I'm enjoying it because obviously it's the subject matter, but I do think it's.
I know people. Good writer. What I felt uncomfortable was that he was. He, and that's what he does, so it's no surprise. He creates conversations that we don't know existed, you know. And I just feel maybe I'm being, you know, so precious about them, these people that I've idolised, not ever seen, that I just didn't feel. But then, you know, if it creates...
But something like that, it makes it more accessible to more people, doesn't it?
And more people, and more non-United fans, you know. Yeah. So if it stops one, it won't. But if it stops one dickhead fucking singing it...
But then it sort of... That defeats the object by the name of the title.
Well, yeah, I totally disagree. I know a lot of people hated it. Yeah, there's one on an ABU before we go. Last week, me and Paul sat down. The woman, she has a normal... existence. She's got a bag, a laptop, and she goes, we've got our beers, and she goes,
on the train back to
London, she goes, we're happy, we've celebrated. She goes, are you a United fan? And I just know in that instance, the glint, it's just storing, it's just whirring. So there's a few, you know, like the usual, had it 1,000 times, and, you know, but after 1,000 times, you don't have to defend it anymore. Why are you a Man United fan? So sometimes I can't be asked, and sometimes I explain it.
Yeah.
But there it is, it's whirring. Oh, you got another late winner. Okay, all right, okay. This is about an hour in now. She's only spoken 4 times. Once just about the train, 3 times about United. Little digs.
Yeah.
So Paul gets off. And I know it's coming. I'm just like, and I'm content. I'm not wound up in any way. But I just think I've encountered this type of ABU. This would be in David Attenborough. Here we have, in his element or her element, the ABU.
Yeah.
They look at you, they stare at you, the anger's brewing. And she,
eyes on the prey.
She put a vodka in her Coke. Yeah. I thought, all right, okay. You're hiding it. I've got my cans, I'm on show. You're hiding it. And then she goes, the great, dun, 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 I don't like Man United. And I just thought, I've waited 2 hours for this moment. So I said, oh, that's unusual. I just had a feeling that might be coming. Why is that then? Oh... Your fans, the way you do things, you always score late on after the referee's given you. And it was just a lit in it. I just thought, you either laugh or you can't end up scrapping on an Aventi train with a lady. Well, not much of a lady. But I just thought, it's like, if you're a United fan and, you know, you've travelled, you've encountered these people at parties, on tables, at work. And I just think, in some ways, sometimes you're tired of it. But there are moments when you've won 3-2 and I just think...
And it's almost like... You know that we're starting to do well again.
And also how many childhoods we've absolutely ruined over the years.
Well, so imagine how good it'll be when things really hit a proper thing. That just the fucking hatred. Yeah, childhood's ruined. Mate, in areas like Newcastle, fucking Stoke, Burnley, and all these Bolton. Right, I'm going to go.
You didn't hate the weeks. I've actually got one this week. You know when you're watching series on Netflix or on iPlayer? I've been watching that Night Manager on iPlayer. Really good, really good. There's an actual spoiler. Like, you know when it's got the title page and you're picking which episode and stuff? You know it's the thumbnails? There's, the main thing on there is an actual spoiler, like a major spoiler for the whole series.
Oh, that's shy.
Like, I was going halfway through it, I was like, this. Like, I saw what I saw, I won't spoil it for other people. And then I was like, and then something happened. I was like, they literally, the BBC have spoiled the show.
Bastards. And I hate it.
It's still very good.
And they
though.
Don't let you watch the end credits. Can I go? And then sometimes there's things in the end credits and they just switch off to something else.
Can I have a hate of the week
as
well?
Yes, go on.
TV license going up again.
Oh, that's shit. £180. Fucking cheeky bastards.
And then they're giving spoilers away on the iPlayer.
And yeah, they give it and they take it and they take it. Right, Zayden, prediction.
2-1.
3-1.
1-0.
2-0.
Wins. Come on, Reds. Right, thanks for all the support today. This is the last chance. We might have a couple at West Ham. Please support. Good luck to Nick and Nathan. I can't wait to, seriously, it'll be a great one. So please buy the next mag because it's only on sale for 2 games. That's it. And if the weather hits us, right. All right, take care. So I'm joined kindly by Tony Smith, author, Manchester United historian, all-round lovely bloke, whose book, Newton Heath, Manchester United and the Legacy of 1902, was featured 2 mags back. And we've kindly said, let's just extend that little Q&A into the podcast 5 minutes. Most importantly, where do people get the book?
Barney, you get the book on Amazon. So you just go onto Amazon and just search for Tony Smith or Manchester United or Newton Heath, and you'll find the book comes up there and you can buy it for a tenner.
What, you've always had this fascination with our history. Where did that come from?
I think I've just been fascinated by history anyway, not just Manchester United's history, but I get into all sorts of other histories too. But you put together that interest in history and social history and the place that you live in, and you combine it with your love for Manchester United, and the two things come together. And so the perfect storm is Manchester United and history both together. And what more fun could you
what
have?
What does it mean to you then? Because it transcends just going in a gate and watching 90 minutes.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, somebody has said to me once, not so long ago, what's the thing you most like about United? And I thought about it for about 4 seconds, and I said, well, once you start reading the histories, you read about the people of Manchester that sustained the club in the late 19th century, the people that, you know, went through the gate, the things that happened back then. You read stories about people going on away trips in the 1880s on the train. You can't imagine that happened, but it did. And you realise that we're part of a continuous thread. You know, we're all on the same journey. We're just carrying on what those people did 130, 40 years ago. And I think that's fascinating, the fact that we're just continuing to preserve that history. And I think we're in danger of losing it sometimes.
Well, the point was made when Sir Jim Ratcliffe, you know, gave this vision, and he said, you know, like, the access has always been an issue. And someone pointed out, you know, of your historian mind, that people have been getting trams and buses here for, since that. What is the legacy then from, you know, the Newton Heath era to now?
Well, for the Newton Heath era, well, they established a football club, and it was a football club that was established in a working class area of Manchester by working people. They were pioneers as well, because when they started playing football, it wasn't a sport that was known about. It had only been codified 10 years earlier, and most of the football clubs in the Manchester area were playing the rugby code. So the Newton Heath Railway workers had to learn how to play the sport. So they were pioneers, but they very, very quickly became the best team in the area by a long way. They dominated the Manchester Cup in the late 19th century. But of course, then they overreached themselves. They broke away from the railway, became a limited company, struggled financially throughout the 1890s and hit the buffers in 1902. They actually were wound up. Newton Heath was wound up. It wasn't saved by John Henry Davies. It was wound up, and a new club was formed. And John Henry Davies took over that new club and changed its name to Manchester United. So the legacy of the events of 1902 is the club that we're left with today.
You've uncovered huge new detail about the origins of the club. So the level of research alone is staggering. Not to give away, but just to tempt people in, you know, what is some of that new info?
Well, I remember when the club celebrated its centenary in 1978, and it's always been the case that the club has acknowledged that the origins are shrouded in the mists of time. When the railway workers first bought a football and started kicking it around, they didn't keep notes and records of what they did. It's not until 1880 that we find the first recorded football match. So there's been a lot of good research by other people over the last 15 years especially, which has been just trying to get to the bottom of what really happened around then. And I know the club is interested in trying to firm it up even more as we approach the 150th anniversary in 2028. But I managed to dig out one or two extra bits that are in the book that I've never read anywhere before. And I've sort of mapped out my sort of summary of where I think things started to develop from a sports club at the railway to a competitive football team.
That working men, you know, just from that we're here all these years later just never ceases. But our history is like it keeps us like, you know, relevant. So that everything, the past is linked to the present, to the future, you know, it's all interlinked. And if you really, like, I love just going through old books. And how do you think United should commemorate it? Because it's coming soon now, you know, 150 years.
Yeah, it's not so long off. I think they should commemorate it first by understanding it. And I hope the people high up at the club, I'd like to think they'd read the chapter on the origins and understand it. So I think the first thing to do to commemorate it is to truly understand it, but also to, as you go forward, to make sure you don't lose what we've had in the past. And you know, we're talking about people talking about redeveloping Old Trafford, for example. I think you can lose an awful lot if you do it wrong. You've got one chance to get it right.
Would you stay here?
Me, yeah.
Yeah. What if you could describe what this ground means to you? Then?
What the ground means to me?
Yeah.
Well, the United have been playing at this ground for 116 years. The ground's about to celebrate its birthday on the 19th of February. First played here in 1910, of course. 116 years I've been coming to watch football at this ground for more than half of the ground's history, back to the mid-1960s.
Scary.
So if you've been coming to a football ground for more than half of its 116-year history, don't be surprised if I'm very attached to the place. And don't be surprised if I'm very opposed to somebody knocking it down. I'm putting a block of flats on the centre circle.
Thanks so much, Tate. That's Newton Heath, Manchester United and the Legacy of 1902. And I can't recommend all of Tony's works. Yeah, he wrote for Red News, you'll remember. He's a great writer, but he's a great historian. And we need people like Tony. So get the book if you can. And score prediction?
We never keep a clean sheet, but let's hope we score more than them.
I like that. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Barney.
So this might be quick because we're in the City Road Inn. And it's going to get mobbed, I think, soon. So we'll just do a quick thing. That was a very mundane, run-of-the-mill win that I really not hoped for, but I thought that we got a bit nervous, like, how do we deal with this until the second goal in, and then you see a bit more freedom. It was almost like we've done two just playing with freedom, and now we're thinking, oh, we actually need to win this, so how do we deal with the performance at one, you know, how do we do this? So that reflected in us being a bit negative. Casemiro, great.
Negative.
No, not negative, but we weren't very, like, we didn't go for the killer, you know, like, and I get that, like, because that's what
the one thing I know is team. As soon as we scored the second one, we did go for it, and it was like, which is lovely, it's like rather than just sitting back, they're like, let's go and get another one. So
that only came when the second...
No, yeah. Of
but that's
yeah,
like...
Yeah.
It should,
but I still think we were... Maybe Amorim was the problem. Maybe Amorim was the problem.
Shock. Nick said to me just before or after we scored the second, it's damning every win is very damning on
no,
him.
No, it is.
And
it
I, and I, the more, you know, the more I think, you told your shit, you're suffering. Manu's tidy. I mean, he didn't have a spec, but he was so tidy today. Bruno was brilliant today, I thought, doing loads of dirty work. And you wouldn't say, but what I love about him, and Bremo again, didn't have a particularly good game, but he scores again.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, he's come to us and gone, I'm scoring, and that's his 10th goal or whatever. Cunha wasn't, but I thought below the back line were very good.
Yeah, I think.
And Lemons, again, just that extra security.
I think it was probably, like, I was sat with Nick's mum tonight, and today, and we were saying, oh, well, you know, Casemiro will probably come off at some point. And it's like, well, maybe they don't have to because they're only down to 10. They're down to 10 men. Yeah. He's, you know, he's got that bit more time.
Or
do you know what I mean?
He can actually play that. He was, you know, and fair play for, I'm not, it's cruel to say acting, but I thought, oh my God, we're not going to see him again after that tackle.
When it, cause, and then I saw...
but it was bad.
Sat behind the cameraman. When I saw it at first, I was like, oh shit. Like, I did actually think it was bad. It was like the horror of the window shut 2 or 3 days ago, and then he gets injured like that. I've been tipping a lot of luck.
But we've won 10% of the full season in a row. When was the last time we won 4 in a row? You know, I'm just so happy. And to know that the next week till Tuesday is going to be effortless. And imagine if we win Tuesday. And then we said on the bus, you know that one of the sides around us isn't, and they're not all going to win, which is
today. Or tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is nice though, isn't it, if you're consistently picking up points. But also what I say is, when the ball hits the goal, it's not Shearer or Cole, it's in Mbeumo.
We do, when he went off and we're singing for Casemiro, I do think we need a song for him urgently
because he is Man United, isn't he, really? I mean, he was a bit sulky at times today. I don't know if he was fully fit or not, but other than that, he pops up again with a goal. I don't really care, he's going to score every week, fair enough. But what I really enjoyed today is, I think every single game that we played under Carrick so far, we look so different. Like, it's, we don't look predictable, where it's, you set up in a certain way, you're going to play in a certain way, and everyone else knows you're going to play in a certain way. Today we had nobody in the middle of the pitch, we had no number 9 effectively, all the players were out wide, Spurs defended really narrow, and all the players were either side of the ring. So you've got Bremo's dropping in, Cunha was dropping in, Ahmad Diallo was dropping in, Fernandes was dropping in, and you have one person in the middle, and it's just, Carrick's got a plan. He's got a plan. I know it's so stupid, but he's got a plan. And it's just so nice.
Emerin had a plan, but it was one plan.
Yeah.
It was one.
Sorry, he had a plan. Carrick has.
We're using.
Carrick's got a different plan each week. And well, that's how they're going to play. What we're going to do is we're going to do this. It's not, we're going to play this way, and we're going to cross our fingers it works. We've come up and we've looked in four games we've played, we've got 4 different sides, so, and we've won 4 games.
So far, so good. 13 games to go, but whatever happens, you know, like, my thing is, this feels very Ollie, where we won whatever, 12 out of the first 14. So that's scarring me. But whatever happens, this does Carrick's CV. And again, like, I constantly maintain this, Luke comes round again in the future if it doesn't come around in the summer for him. This does his CV a hell of a lot of good.
Yeah. But then that's the thing, like, we shouldn't judge now on what happened.
Yeah.
But then the ironic thing is that, like, everyone says, oh, well, we can't do it because it didn't work for Solskjaer. We had our best results, essentially, and best football under Solskjaer since Fergie. Do you know what I mean? Like, we would. So it's not like it was a massive.
A reader made that
it
point.
It wasn't a massive
and
failure.
What was the final doing for
signing Ronaldo?
Who's seen his arse in Saudi, which I just saw, you know, love him for what he did. But he is an arsehole.
It's fair enough. No, Nathan's right. It was the best football. And it was what, I mean, Ben said it a few podcasts ago, didn't he? And he said, you know, he's failed with these players when we were talking about different managers that should come in and take the reins. It was kind of like, I think he's only managed 3 of these players that are in that squad. But, you know, same with Carrick, I mean, the squad's very different from when he was here as well. So, yeah, I say it's done no harm for him. I hope he gets a good job after it. I'd love him to still see him stay in some kind of capacity. But
you wouldn't give it to him still?
No.
I
think if we won every game between now and the end of the year, I still wouldn't give it.
Why then?
Because there's so many top-class managers that are available.
But you want them.
But we've missed the
boat. If they want us, sorry.
Which is different. But the thing is with Carrick, he will wait. We said this about Solskjaer at the time, didn't you? You said, why do we need to give him the job before the end of the season? He wouldn't wait. we've actually got loads of different managers that are available, top class managers as well. You have to see which one of those are going to look, I'm sorry Kai, but you've got to understand that we have if Luis Enrique can come, you drop everything and you get Luis Enrique. That is who you go for.
But you're not guaranteed success.
No, of course you're not. You're not guaranteed success if Carrick stays either. You might sign the right players that could flop or whatever. You're never guaranteed success. But if you can get Luis Enrique,
Martin, come on quick.
Sorry.
How are you doing? What do you make?
It's bizarre. Just weird how we're just playing football again. You're saying on the tram then. Just the fact we can string four or five passes together again. Mega. Love it. Just wish it came 18 months ago.
What do you put it down to? The freedom? They're just being told not there?
Just they're being told to go out and express themselves for the first time in a long time and not being like limited to some daft system that evidently wasn't working. So
is this making you, where do you stand? I don't know actually, so where do you stand on?
Well, I think like most of us, you've got to be looking at it and say, if we can like consolidate third or fourth place this year, which we absolutely can, you've got to be asking the question of whether or not he's the man to go for, because everything's going to be a gamble, right? You do something like Ancelotti, 1 or 2 years, gamble. Bring in a Thomas Glasner, massive gamble. And you would say that Carrick's a gamble, but if you weigh all them gambles up and you go, which one's the biggest? For me, you'd have to give him a go.
Yeah.
You know, what he's done in four games.
But this is, it's mad.
Yeah.
It's brilliant though, isn't it? Like to know that my Monday is sorted. Yeah. Now, the weekend started lovely, and in 48 hours I won't feel the world is imploding on me. Whatever happens in between.
Do you know that the biggest thing is reluctantly getting a West Ham, because it's so shit with the away tickets now, reluctantly saying yes to a West Ham ticket because you don't know where the next one's going to come from, and then you fast forward a month and you're like, bring on West Ham. Like, fucking bring it on. But
bring them on. Alright, cheers,
mate.
I'll interrupt.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
no, it's fine. I didn't realise you were doing the pop.
Steve,
what did you make of that? I thought we were a bit flat today. I'm sort of used to expecting like edge of the seat football, free flowing, loads of goals because of the last three games. But do you know what? Job done. It's quite professional. Lee, my mate's just come in the pub. He's watched it in the game and he said it was, he played really well.
We'll be here in a second. Just what was the possession today? I know that compared to the others. Claire, what do you make of that?
I don't know.
Did you enjoy it?
I had a great time. Yeah, I loved it.
It is 65%.
You said it felt equal, and I went, it definitely does.
Right. Okay. Maybe we're being harsher then.
Just the ball pretty well. It was slow, it was methodical, there wasn't any panicking in terms of the passing.
It's just calm.
I think we got over the West Ham, we got over this first win.
I do think we got a bit lucky with the red card, but then at the same time, you know,
in terms of it happening, not that.
It was definitely a red card, right? You know, but then, you know, we could go into consistency that the lot should have got sent off against City, but, you know, like. But I just mean, you know, we didn't really show much. We had a couple of half chances, but obviously then we took that we got that, and then they're down to 10 men. But I'm just glad that we then took advantage of that. Because obviously we remember Everton a few weeks ago, they go down to 10 men and we fuck it. So, you know, sometimes it is hard. Like, I know that people say they hate it. Sometimes it is hard against 10 men because they'll just sit back.
Well, look at Everton.
The thing that is Riaz's thing, to be manager here, you need to be good and lucky. You know, and I do think, like, the Amorim thing, he wasn't very good, but he was also unlucky, you know, like, in a way, no.
You make your own luck.
Yeah, you make your own. No, but what I'm saying is, when I've watched some of the games back recently, like Leeds, I'm just a vaginist, but we could have won at Leeds, you know, and he saw his ass.
No, but
I'm not the bit, because it's light and day, but we had only lost five games under him. So it was better. Like, there's no denying it was better than last year. It was just, it was stagnating.
Not nearly that half, was it, Barney? Because you purposely make it worse, but
we've lost the same amount as City. No, but what I'm saying is that Leeds was a perfect example. We had a lot of chances and we didn't convert them. And then they could have actually won it at the end. So my point watching it is, you know, like the Riaz saying, you need to be good and lucky. And so far, Carrick, we're being good, but we're also getting a bit of good fortune our way, which you do need to carry yourself with. I'm not, you know, it is, I do feel like a prisoner is released in the Berlin Wall going, freedom's over there. And that's Michael Carrick's hugging us going, I'm here, lads.
So basically, Amorim leaving is like the Berlin Wall coming down. Is that what you're trying to say?
It does. It's like four wins. The happiness I feel. Right, any hates of the week?
Spurs fans first singing Through the Flowers of Manchester, singing Champions of Europe. It's like, literally, read the room or read the stadium in terms of these are young lads that have died playing European football, pioneering European football, and you're sat there singing we're Champions of Europe, which A, you're not, B, please don't be tone deaf and respect it. It's 3 minutes, you can shut the fuck up for 3 minutes, cockney twats.
Any hates of the week?
Yeah, people who take the lower value on the chase. Fucking wankers. Absolute fucking wankers. I understand not going for a high offer, but if I was on that team,
I'd be gutted.
And then some fucking dickhead. It's like, oh.
Someone did it the other week and got eliminated, and I was pleased.
Yeah. Well, I would be. I just don't
any others.
Steve, I'd love you to go on a TV quiz show. Please, can you apply for everything so you go on something?
No.
Yeah, you'd be crying. I'd like that. Deal or no deal, you'd have to make friends.
You still do
no,
deal.
No, yeah.
With Stephen.
I can sense it's in box 22. No, you fucking can't. It's a box.
You'd have to be in a hotel with people for like a week or two and become friends and they go, I love you, we're staying
so
such forever.
If you had to pick a TV quiz show to go on, what would you pick?
That's a great question. Ooh. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
I think. Prize is big. Nothing with Ant and Dec. That fucking... I don't get it when it's like boom, boom, like the scale thing.
Oh,
like
I don't get that. That's the most confusing fucking thing.
I thought you were going to say the weakest link. I could just see you putting a board up. Why are you voting Sheila off? I don't like her earrings. And I think she's a twat. Like, I could see you more doing that.
No. Well, I've got to go on a. I'm in actually at a work thing on Tuesday night that my boss is making me go to. I don't think she's coming as well, but. We booked into a different hotel than everyone
same
else.
Room.
No. No. What we do when we go away, we normally have two beers together, then we get a KFC, and then we go to our own rooms. How's...
Kick talking,
Steve. And then... what else? Oh, yeah, so I've got to go, and they've organised a meal at night.
Oh,
I'm not going to that.
No, don't go to
no,
that.
Not for me.
You'll get thrown out. That's the start, let alone
just
you enjoy
it. I just don't want to go. I don't want to. I don't like talking after 7 o'clock.
What did you make of today?
We played very well. I thought before the red card, which I personally thought was harsh, I did.
Why?
I thought it made a genuine attempt for the ball, albeit with a bit too much force, but he wasn't over the top. He caught him on the ankle. Just because someone's hurt doesn't mean it's a straight red. I think it's a red now, but I think maybe 20 years ago it's not a red card, and that's the kind of football I like. But yeah, I thought value for the win. I thought we'd have won irrespective of the red card. So
what do you think of everything that
we've happened since you were last on here?
In terms of the world's changed a great deal, yeah. I thought, I mean, the main point of it, I think it's the discussion about what the future holds for Man United in terms of the manager. I mean,
where do you stand in?
I mean, the last time I think I was vocal on here, I think I was Ollie in, wasn't I? So I probably should say Carrick in as well. But I think we just take a bit of time. We don't need to offer him the job now or anything like that. We need to wait until the end of the season. I think Carrick should be a bridge to someone better. My view is I think we should get Luis Enrique, but that's a very aspirational appointment.
Okay.
But then the best chance of getting in is for us to finish this season well, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to if we're not in the Champions League, he's not going to.
It's massive.
He's not going to be interested.
We can't get overexcited. We've just got to.
I am fucking overexcited. We've just won four games of football in a row.
With Ollie, we won 9 in a row, and then you called for his head. So.
No, I know I did. But it got very toxic, you know. And I think the point's made by the man. You know, like when he's saying who's put your hands up, who can go out in the second half.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And there's crying. He'd not lost the dressing room, but he'd lost his authority.
I think Carrick is better tactically than Solskjaer.
Yes.
I don't think it's just vibes and environment and feeling. I think there's actually some substance there.
The one thing we haven't said is, and we don't know how Ollie's felt, but Ollie being Ollie has said, I wish him the best as a friend. But it was a slight that that Carrick didn't. It was offered you both together, and Carrick wanted to be independent of that, and they didn't go with Ollie, which is a bit of a, you know, but he's taken it in an Ollie way.
Carrick's right to
do
that, though.
He is, because you didn't want to be associated with, but you've got to do it your own way. And I think we haven't talked about, that was very important, that they didn't just go, oh, United DNA, both lumped in together, you know.
I'm one of the most pro Ollie people probably at this table, and when they offered the second chance of Ollie, I was like, almost out of compassion for the man. Please, no, let's not do this again.
Well, I said that. Like, you don't want to break him as a person.
No, it'd be horrible. Finley, what do you make of that?
The game? Yeah. We played well. I think we deserved the win. But I think there was a couple of things that needed to be worked on, like Delow. He needs to improve or be replaced by maybe...
I thought he had quite a good game tonight.
In the second half, he had a few passes, but they were very good. They were superb. But other than that, I think he made a few mistakes every once in a while, and it's just too risky to have a play.
And how's your solo day without Dad been?
It was quite good. So,
has it felt? Has it a bit independent?
Got to the ground, 40 minutes of selling.
Thanks for selling.
And then went in, saw the TIFO.
Was it good in the ground?
Yeah, it was,
You've had a good time. Missing Dad, but like...
Yeah.
And where do you stand about Carrick?
I think, see how he goes. I think obviously Solskjaer was like this. He did well as interim, and then as soon as he got signed, it was like falling apart. So I think, see how the next few weeks go. If he does well, wins a few more, then I think sign him as permanent manager. If not, look for someone else.
I like this. Steve, how are we?
Very well, thank you, mate. How are you? What's up, mate?
On the pod, how do you feel about it?
Oh, things are looking up, Barney. Things are looking up. Things are looking really good now.
Enjoying it?
Oh, man. I'm happier now. I'm happy.
Than I've felt in a long time. And any hates of the week? Hates of the week? No? Any hates?
No hates. It just remains in the background. It just remains the same. Things are looking up on the pitch, but we all know the pain's going to come.
And off the pitch, £299, the Villa thing, you know, like, we start winning and then they start going, we can offer shitloads of tickets. We don't know the stats because they're not revealing the stats.
Yeah.
So love United, challenge them. Protest, right, are we done? Are we done? Shane. Quick, pop thoughts.
Lee just said it at the bar, steady, I think, and that's kind of like, in a way, what you want. I kind of thought it was a bit laboured at times, but never really looked in too much danger. Should have got the second sooner, but yeah, you can't complain of that. Steady, winning habits, good feeling.
Hates of the week.
A hate of the week with a passion is, I don't want to sort of like sound arrogant, but it's teams that win a Conference League or win the Europa League and then walks around singing Champions of Europe, we know what we are. What a load of bollocks. And doing it over the Munich thing as well was Spurs are usually better than that, but they were scummy today,
Like, if we'd have won that game in Bilbao, we wouldn't be singing Champions of Europe.
No, and also disrespecting. And you were in the Circus Tavern, where it was a good, from people who'd been to the memorial.
Yeah, it was yesterday. a good little I just went in there, spur of the moment last night, and there's a good little crowd. nice little sing song, some real old tunes. It's good stuff. Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. That was a good night. Yeah. Steady. It's good. It's a good feeling, isn't it? United winning. Everyone's in a good mood. It lifts the place. Just talking at the bar there, everyone said just what a difference a month makes to the mood. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, Matt, right, any, sum it up. Steak, what's it all about, Steak?
No idea what it's all about.
Are you happy?
I am happy, mate, yeah. It's fucking on. 9 points off the top, I'll tell you what. City, unfortunately.
If we win the league,
yeah,
I will do things to you.
Arsenal drop points later. City and Liverpool will drop points tomorrow. They will.
It would be the biggest... You've been saying it's on for 13 years, Steve.
No, but I think we'll finish higher than fourth.
Right,
I think we'll finish.
Cheers, everyone. By the next mag, Luke Shaw interview. Don't fuck it up. Don't be late, Nick.
Don't get injured,
Luke. Love you all. Fucking four on the trot.
United 2, Spurs nil. What do you think of that, Zayden?
Good.
Who's your man of the match? Mbeumo, yeah, I think Mbeumo was quality today. Kasper was quality again. It's Ben and Zayden. Not the greatest of football games, entertainment-wise, I don't think, you know. But there's four in a row for Carrick, four on the bounce for United. You know, so that's not bad at all, really. Carrick's got an absolute tune out of these. One of my friends did mention this before, that Spurs are a dirty side when things don't go wrong. Well, things don't go their way, shall we say. And they were a right fucking dirty side today. Definite red card on Casemiro. Fucking hell. But yeah, I thought Kobbie Mainoo was superb today. I thought the back line was superb. Maguire led it very well with Martinez. It's a very routine win today, I think, you know. More than anything, you know, wasn't spectacular, wasn't out of this world. But it keeps it going. So the big 3 points in the bag, four in a row for Carrick, and you cannot complain. Anybody can complain at all at anything at the minute. Everything's going superbly well. And what do you think to Michael Carrick?
Good.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. He keeps on winning games. Like I said last week, keeps on winning games of football. He puts his name in that hat, you know. More and more. Morning. You're getting sacked in the morning. Yeah, good old Thomas Frank's getting sacked in the morning, eh? Yeah, but only further consolidates Carrick's right for the job, you know. I'm not trying to get too carried away, you know. West Ham's going to be a toughie on Tuesday night, but as I said, the more he keeps winning, the more the questions that, you know, will be asked of the board. Believe it's not Scholes. It's Carrick, you know. Hard to believe it's not Scholes. Like I say, keep winning games of football. You know, the more and more top four becomes a reality. Maybe pushing top three and top two. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that we can hunt down. And obviously not trying to get too ahead of myself. But you know, we've hunted down positions before when we've gone on to win league titles. Not saying we're going to win league titles, because I mean, that's beyond us this season. But I was at top three, top two. To United. Casemiro. 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 Another top performance by Casemiro today, I thought. I love that guy. I do think he's enjoying his last few months being a United player. That's for sure. But yeah, as I said, you know, I'm not trying to get all ahead of myself, but title charge could be on the cards here. Nah, I'm joking. You know, top two, top three. I don't think it's beyond the realms of the, you know, impossibility. Next home game. New mags out. Please support the mag as always. To the regiment. Glory, glory, Man United. And Zayden, can we have glory, glory, Man United from you?
Well, good, Man United.
Come on. Yes, it's Ben and Zayden. Come on. Fucking love Carrick. Let's go.